Oh, what a fantastic song. There is nothing greater in all the world than love and the love of God. And everybody in this room can be great because all of you can love. And you can do so in the power of God. Hey, we're really glad to have you with us today. Welcome to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. You know, 2 weeks from today will be September the 11th. 2011. And here we are 10 years later. And so 2 weeks from today, on that particular Sunday, we're just calling it God Bless America Day. We're going to pray for our nation. We are going to remember, we are going to honor, we are going to hope, and we are going to again ask for the Lord to restrain evil and to release righteousness. And it would be, I think, a day that would be especially appropriate for you to be thinking of someone to invite to come with you that day. We'll have a number of special guests with us, but that's two weeks from today. And a lot of great things coming up this fall. I hope you're ready for it. I guess most, you know, all of our younger ones are in school. Hope that's going well. Well, today I want to just share a brief message, a very simple message, asking the question, what kind of man can God use? Because Jesus calls men to passionate spirituality. Jesus calls men to kingdom business. Jesus calls men to spiritual transformation. Now, obviously, we live in a day of a lot of dumbed-down masculinity, but I am grateful that a ton of men, a ton of guys in this church want to step up and be men in the way that God calls us to be men. And a real man is the kind of guy who will reject passivity. He will accept responsibility, and he will lead with a measure of courage. Not long ago, out in West Texas, a gentleman died. Speaking at his funeral, delivering the eulogy, was one of his sons. He stood before a group of people and he described his father as a man of faith, as a man of character, a man of integrity. And then he said this. He summed up his dad's life in this one sentence. He said, "My dad was like a hitching post. You could tie your life up to him." I want to be that kind of dad. I want to be that kind of grandfather. I want to be a hitching post type of man where my kids and my grandkids can say, you know, we could count on him, on that kind of integrity, that kind of stability. We could tie our life up to that kind of person. Well, what kind of man is God? Everybody in the room, all the men here, have heard the phrase, you know, act like a man, but by whose definition? And ladies, let me just say to you, this message is apropos to you, because when it comes to, you know, you've either given birth to a man, you're married to one, you'd like to be married to one, you know, you've got some influence there along the way, and so this message is for you as well. I've got 4 points. Here's the first one. What kind of man does God use? A man who can conquer his pride, who conquers his pride. And that is so very, very daily. Gang, let me say it as clearly as I know how. Pride is your greatest enemy. Humility is your greatest friend. Pride is your greatest enemy at every step of your spiritual journey, and it can raise its head in the most unpredictable ways. And make us behave in such a goofy way. I think I told some of you before, about 3 or 4 years ago, you know, during the Christmas season, we were doing kind of the Toys for Tots thing. We were hosting it here at our building. And it was the day where, you know, the building was just over 1,000 people up here serving on a Saturday and giving out toys to underprivileged children. And a lot of people who were up here working were from our community. They were from, you know, various, you know, service organizations. And my wife, Martha, and I, we had gone up into the adult education wing, and we were, because a lot of stuff was going on up there, and we were out in the lobby area of the adult ed wing. And there was a guy who was sort of managing the door. He was the doorway Garter, okay? And so he's guarding the doorway. And you know, when Martha and I finish our conversation, I get ready to walk out the door that's, you know, to my right. And as you know, there are two doorways up there. And as I get ready to go out to the right, this guy who's volunteering, he's from our community, doesn't go to church here, he sticks his hand out and puts his hand in my chest and says, "Excuse me, sir, but you can't go out this door. You need to go out that door." I didn't really see any reason why I couldn't go out this door and why I needed to go out that door. And obviously, that guy did not know who I am. And I wanted to say, "Do you not? My name is on the sign out front. You know, I signed off on the little piece of paper that says, you know, y'all can be in here and build the, but you know, I just back up, re-engage in this conversation with Martha and some other folks, and then it's time to walk out again, and I'm going through that door. I go right back to go through the door on the right, and again, he puts out his hand, and he says, "I'm sorry, sir, but you cannot go out this door. You need to go out that door." I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I'm here. I'm over 50 years old. I am a Christian. I love Jesus. And something as silly as that, "I'm sorry, sir, you can't go out this door." "Well, I'm going to just show you I'm going out this door." What did I do? I swallowed my pride. I walked out the door to the left. And you know what? The world didn't collapse. Everything was fine. But fighting pride is so daily. Not a one of us will ever be able to stand up and say, "I am proud to announce that I am now completely humble." Nobody can say that. Remember in the Old Testament, Naaman, who almost missed a blessing because of his pride. "Naaman, just go dip in the River Jordan and you'll receive a blessing." "Well, why do I have to go there to that?" I have known men to miss so many blessings because of their pride. They stiff-arm baptism, they're too proud. They stiff-arm making that apology, they're just too proud. They stiff-arm taking that first step at reconciliation. They're too proud. They're too proud to sit under, you know, to allow somebody else to teach them or help them because, hey, it's a blow to my pride to say, "You may know more about this than I do." The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that we are proud when we think more of and about ourselves than we should. And in Proverbs 29, a man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. Gentlemen, how you doing with your pride? It is so daily, and it shows itself in such simple ways. But Jesus says, if we can humble ourselves, not only can we enter the kingdom, but we can be useful and usable in the kingdom of God as well. All right, second point. What kind of man can God use? A man who knows how to define success. Virtually everybody in this room is driven at some level by a need to succeed, and that's a good thing. However, and this is significant, not everyone measures success by the same gauge. And the problem is not our desire to succeed, but the way we measure it. And here's the big lie. The big lie is, if I am a success at work, then I am a success in life. Please don't get me wrong. Do not mishear me. I am not saying we should be vocational slackers. Not at all. However, you may have a seven-figure salary, the biggest house in town, and still be a colossal failure. Think how the pursuit of money And that single definition of success has wounded so many people. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and into destruction. And gang, in your home and your families, you can help Dad here. You can help by periodically saying to him, thank you for being a man of integrity. Thank you for being a man of dependability. Thank you for leading a balanced life. And you can help him by being grateful, by being content, by not comparing. Again, Jesus does not squelch our need to succeed. And I'm not in any way throwing cold water and telling you that you should repudiate that inner drive that God put in you to succeed and to conquer and to go out and to excel. But measure success wisely. Success is more about your character than it is your career. Success is more about how you learn to treat other people than how everybody treats you. Success is more about God's approval than man's applause. Robert Fraley is not necessarily a household name. Payne Stewart is. Most everybody knows who Payne Stewart was. Payne Stewart was killed in a Learjet plane crash on the day of my dad's funeral, October 25th, 1999. Also on board that Learjet was Robert Fraley. Robert Fraley grew up not far from me. He was older than me, but he grew up not far from me. In Winchester, Tennessee, Franklin County, Tennessee. He went to the University of Alabama on a football scholarship. He was a quarterback on one of their national championship teams. Then he got a law degree, and then he went into sports management. Robert Fraley was a strong, strong Christian. At his funeral, well-known baseball pitcher Oral Hershiser gave one of the speeches. And Oral Hershiser talked about Robert Fraley and how that after one particularly good season that Oral had, he sat down with Robert and he said, I want us to evaluate my career. And he said, not at all. It is way too early to evaluate your career. You need to wait until the end of your career, and then I'm going to ask you four questions. And these four questions will determine what kind of career you had as a major league player. You ready? Here they are. Number one, is my faith in Jesus Christ still vibrant? Number two, is my integrity intact? Number three, am I still living with my wife and are we in love? And number four, am I passing along the baton of faith to my children? And if you can answer yes to those four questions, regardless of your win-loss record, you've had an all-star career. Pursue success, but measure it wisely. And what kind of man could God use? A man who's willing to fight his pride. A man who's willing to measure success holistically. Thirdly, a man who has sound, sensual sense. Proverbs chapter 25 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. And guys, all of us in this room, we all know where our points of weakness are. We all know if we have lust issues, pride issues, fear issues, or anger issues. And I would encourage you, And wherever those points of weakness are, be watchful, be on your guard, and be ready to protect yourself. And for most men, unbridled lust is probably the most common, the most difficult temptation that they face. There's a book out called Every Man's Battle that suggests that 99% of men would say that their number one struggle is with unbridled lust. And here we are as American Christians, and we have to fight it because we live in such a seductive society. We are inundated with visual stimulation at every turn. Now, gentlemen, unbridled lust, it is addictive, it is progressive, it is destructive. It is like salt water It does not satisfy. It only intensifies a thirst that cannot be quenched. But let me be clear about lust. Lust is not admiration. Lust is not appreciation. Adam was instinctively attracted to Eve. God made us to be attracted to each other. That simply means you're normal and your heart is beating. But a wise father gave these words to his son from Proverbs chapter 6. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute, whether she is right there in front of you or whether she is on a computer screen, reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. She will leave you sliced up and lifeless, he says. Gentlemen, here's the challenge for us all. For us to have a vision for a healthy thought life, a healthy emotional life that is completely above board. And guys, we can pursue this. We can be honest with each other. We can pray with each other. We can help each other. And ladies, may I say something to you? The Bible does not give a dress code, but it does give a dress calling. And to every woman in the room, to every dad that's here raising daughters, remember you have a dress calling, and however you dress, it should be in a way that is appropriate as a Christian woman. What kind of man can God use? A man who fights his pride. A man who will measure success holistically. A man who has sound sensual sense. And number four, a guy who's willing to step up to the plate. Ephesians chapter 5 says it like this: the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. In Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, you bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Clearly, God has placed the responsibility of family leadership on the shoulders of the husband and the father. That doesn't mean he's a dictator, doesn't mean he barks out orders. It simply means that in matters of principle, he is to lead whether his wife is agreeable or not. In matters of style, gentlemen, be flexible and compromise. But in matters of principle, you lead. Dads, I exhort you to set the spiritual tone in your home. For you to do that. Your children need to hear your voice. They need to hear your prayers. They need to see your enthusiasm for Jesus. They need to absorb your faith too. And what kind of man can God use? The kind of guy who's willing to step up to the plate, and as fine a wife as he has, he doesn't say, well, honey, you just handle it all. I like what one guy said. He said, every day when I come home, when I put my car in park, it's a reminder that I need to shift gears mentally. And that as I walk through the back door in my house, the people that I am about to meet are more important than anyone else I've dealt with all day long, and they deserve my attention. I will be present here. And families, I encourage you, if your dad, if your husband is this kind of guy who steps up to the plate, to compliment him, thank him for his efforts. Say, Dad, thanks for praying with us. Thanks for taking us to church. Thanks for being such a great role model. Thanks for being a hitching post in my life. Someone I can tie my life to. Guys, I love you, and I really appreciate your energy for the Lord. Real men love Jesus, and real men let their light shine to the glory of God. Here's a surprising truth of a powerful man. He really is a conqueror. We men are designed to go out and conquer, but I would challenge you to conquer yourself. Conquer your mouth. Conquer those angry, destructive, hurtful words. Conquer your passions. Focus on your wife exclusively. Conquer your coldness and be willing to express yourself. To not let that son or that daughter wonder how you feel about them. Express your love. Express your encouragement. Designer manhood is all about conquest. It's about conquering ourselves, but we can't do it in our own power. God helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. We encourage one another. And by the power and love of Jesus, we are useful in His hands. And we are that kind of hitching post, husband and father, to our families. All right. Let me ask you to take out your orders of worship, please. And right there, you're going to see a communication card. On that communication card, there is a place for you to indicate if you want to speak with somebody here about baptism, about membership in our church. We would love to set up a time to visit with you. And this is an easy, convenient way for you to communicate with us. Now, in just a few moments, we are going to be receiving those communication cards, but you take your time and fill out those cards. Now, elders' wives, let me be asking you to come on up to the front area, please, because we're getting ready to have our time of prayer. And this is where you can come down, you can pray with any of our elder couples about anything that's on your heart and mind. It may be a decision point, something to celebrate, it may be a need, whatever. We want to pray with you. It's our privilege and honor. So, gang, why don't we stand? Just stand right where you are. We're going to be singing and praying, and you are invited to come down here and pray with one of our elders.